Peace be with you. Friends, our gospel today is the familiar story of the 10 lepers who come to Jesus seeking a cure. Jesus cures them. Number 9 go away without thanking him, and 1, the Samaritan, returns in thanksgiving. That well-known gospel story is paralleled by the first reading, which is less well-known, but I want to spend some time with it. It's also a story of cure, conversion, and thanksgiving. It's from the second book of Kings, and it's the story of Naaman the Syrian. Now, as is often the case in the Bible, stories of physical cures are at the metaphorical level, the symbolic level, stories of spiritual cures. This one, I think, is a beautiful example of the spiritual life being described. Every step of the way, we see something which is true in the spiritual life. So let me walk you through the story of Naaman the Syrian. First of all, we learn the identity of this figure, Naaman. He's no small figure. He is the chief of the army. He would be the Norman Schwarzkopf, the Colin Powell of his time. And in these warring kingdoms of the ancient Near East, the head of the army would be a very powerful, important figure. And that's how Naaman is described. But then we learn something about him. And this is typically biblical, it seems to me. In the midst of all of this authority and confidence and power, Naaman also has a thorn in the flesh because he suffers from leprosy. Now, in the ancient Near East, leprosy was a particularly debilitating disease, not only because it was contagious and therefore it ostracized the person, but it was just a source of great embarrassment. Someone with leprosy was ashamed of himself. Now, how do we read this opening of the story? Great man, great figure, confident, full of authority. Yet, as is often the case in the biblical imagination, it is not our strength that will lead us to God, but precisely our weakness. You know, I love to read biographies of great people. And I've learned now just to look for this instinctually. Look for the thorn in the flesh. When you're reading the story of a great person, you will always uncover, you will invariably uncover, a weakness, a point of embarrassment, a sickness, a darkness. And usually it's the case that that illness or sickness or weakness is the key to that person's personality. I'll give you a couple of examples. Both Lincoln and Churchill suffered from a debilitating depression. Churchill referred to it as the black dog. He'd withdraw from public life for a time and he'd say, "The black dog is on me." It meant this terrible depression that weighed him down. Yes, even in the midst of all of his accomplishments. Thomas Jefferson, at key moments in his life, had to withdraw. He went back to Monticello because he was weighed down by these terrible migraine headaches, probably born of a combination of physical and psychological causes. The darkness, the weakness, even in the midst of greatness. A third example, I love this one, is Laurence Olivier. At the height of his powers in the 50s and 60s, when Olivier was seen by most people as the greatest actor in the world, he suffered from an overwhelming stage fright. Now, who would have guessed it? The best actor in the world, the greatest actor. But when he got out on the stage during that period, he said he was overwhelmed by anxiety. Of course, Paul himself in the Bible talks about the thorn in the flesh. Oh, I begged God 3 times to take it away from him. But the Lord said, "In your weakness is your strength." I think we see this now in the story of Naaman, this great general, powerful, confident. Yet it is his suffering, his weakness, his leprosy that will lead him to God. Second little detail, it is a slave girl in his retinue who tells him that there are prophets in Israel who could cure him of his leprosy. Now, the slave girl in his home undoubtedly someone he captured during one of his wars against Israel. Would there be anyone on the social scale of the ancient Near East, anyone lower than a slave girl? I mean, women were barely on the radar, especially for powerful men of that time. Here's a slave girl. There's nobody who'd be in a lower social position. Yet, she is the one who tells him where his healing will come from. Christians, this is a very important point, I think. When we are in suffering, and our suffering is leading us to God, we must learn how to look anywhere for the word and for the direction. We must have the humility to hear God's word no matter where it's spoken and by whom. It would have been so easy for Naaman to say, well, what does this silly slave girl know? I'm not going to listen to her. Yet he listens to her. He abides by her recommendation. So when you're seeking healing from whatever it is that's ailing you spiritually, look anywhere. Have the sensitivity and the humility to follow that direction. What does Naaman do then? Well, he sends a letter and a delegation to the king of Israel saying, I, Naaman, would like to come into your country and be cured of my leprosy. The king of Israel receives this letter, and it's a wonderful detail. He tears his garments, as Israelites would do when they were shocked at something. He tore his garments. And he said, who is this man asking me such questions? He must be trying to undermine me. This must be a plot. Isn't that wonderful? In this very rough and tumble world of realpolitik, in this tough world of soldiers and statesmen, what could this possibly mean, that this great general is asking to come into my country to be cured of an illness? Who would ever admit that much weakness? So the king of Israel suspects that there's a plot here somewhere, and he's going to block him. Christians, a biblical theme from beginning to end, and I don't have time today to go into it. That could be a whole other series of sermons. I'll just state it. A biblical theme that you'll find everywhere. The road to healing is always blocked. The road to healing is always blocked. There are always dragons at the gate. As we seek healing, we seek spiritual health, it's just the case that we will be opposed. There are powers inside of us. There are powers around us. There are powers in the culture, in the people that surround us, that will oppose us when we seek healing. It's almost as though our fellow sinners want to keep us in sin. They want to keep us spiritually dysfunctional. And so when we find the courage and the humility to seek healing, they'll block us. The great lesson here is don't be put off by them. Expect their opposition. As you're seeking the Lord, that road will be blocked. Don't be put off by it. The great lesson here is that Naaman is not put off by it. He's not ashamed. He's not cowed back into silence. Instead, through God's grace, the prophet Elisha hears about this extraordinary request. And Elisha sends a message to Naaman. Naaman, here's what you do if you want to be cured. You go and bathe 7 times in the river Jordan, and then you will be cured. Now, how does Naaman take this recommendation? His pride is stirred up. He was humble enough to listen to that slave girl. He was humble enough to start this process. But now, when he confronts the prophet, his pride is stirred up. Aren't there enough rivers in my own country? Why should I come to your country? And then, why should I bathe 7 times? 6? 8? What's the point of 7? He just doesn't get it. And his pride is stirred up. But he conquers it, and he follows the recommendation of the prophet. What lesson do we draw from this? Christians, imagine now, your weakness has led you to seek the Lord. You've listened humbly to the recommendations of those around you. You face down the obstacles, both interior and exterior. And now you have come to the church. And what do you hear from its prophets, from its representatives? You hear some peculiar recommendations. Well, I'd like you to read the scripture. I'd like you to pray on a regular basis. I'd like you to attend the liturgy on Sunday. I'd like you to care for the poor and engage in the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Your prophet will tell you to do all kinds of things, and they might not strike you as the most reasonable. Why should I read these scriptures, not some others? Why should I pray this way and not that way? Why should I do these things and not something else? Trust the process. What I take from this is trust the process. As the prophet tells you what to do, even if in your pride and your limited capacity, you don't see it clearly, do it. Do it. There are a whole series of practices that describe and define the spiritual life. As we're seeking healing from the Lord, we enter into these processes with confidence. Do it, even if you don't clearly understand what you're doing. And then we hear in the story that Naaman is cured. He comes up out of the river after the seventh bathing, and his skin is like that of a little child. He's cured. What does he do? He then comes to the prophet Elisha. And he expresses to him his gratitude. And he asks him a peculiar question. He says, can I carry back to my own country some loads of the earth of Israel? What's he asking him for? Well, in the ancient world, you could worship a god only on the soil of the country where that god was honored. Naaman's realized that the true God is the God of Israel, and so he asked to bring back some of the earth of Israel so he can now engage in worship of the true God. Thanksgiving and praise. The spiritual life often begins in weakness, a sense of our need. It ends in thanksgiving and praise. Lord, thank you for what you've done. And now my whole life is centered on you. Now your praise is what my life is about. St. Paul says, do you remember? Dedicate yourselves to thankfulness. My whole body, my life, every breath I draw, every thought I have, every accomplishment that's mine, every achievement is finally rooted in the gift of God. When I've come to the Lord, the ultimate stance is one of thanksgiving and praise. Remember in the gospel story, only the Samaritan comes back and thanks and praises Jesus. Where are the other nine? They haven't completed the spiritual journey. Yes, for them it began in weakness. Lord, have pity on us. It culminated in their healing, but then it didn't reach completion because they didn't offer their praise and thanksgiving. Christians, watch Naaman the Syrian in his interesting, strange, surprising story and see in it your own story. I don't care how strong you are. There's some weakness in you that should lead you to God. Have the humility and grace and courage to follow God's lead. Face down any obstacle you come up against. And then enter into the discipline of the church. And when you are cured, remember to give thanks and praise. God bless.